Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I'm sad to say that Don Rickles has passed away. Yesterday, he passed away at the age of 90. And this is in no way a tribute to him, but I am kind of obsessed with death.
Oh, are you? Yeah.
I really am. And didn't you always want to know if you got swallowed by a whale, what would happen to you?
Sure. Of course.
I actually have some breaking Rickles news right now.
What is it, Ryan? Sure.
This is what we're getting from Pixar right now. No word on whether or not Rickles' lines will be cut for the new Toy Story 4 movie. It looks like the creative chief officer of Pixar and Walt Disney Animation Studios obviously came out expressing condolences to the family, but they had that in the works, and we don't exactly know if there are going to be any changes made as a result.
So he didn't record any lines? Is that what you're saying?
It does not appear. No. If he has, they have not completed it. And so the question is, are they going to go through with the lines the way they were? Are they going to bring someone else into play, Mr. Potato Head? Or, you know, do they have enough to work with?
They had that same problem when Jim Varney died years ago in the Toy Story movies.
He
and
died?
And they replaced him. Yeah.
Oh, we all remember, yeah. Was it the Fast and Furious series?
Yeah, Paul Walker.
Paul Walker died, and they used his brother, correct,
right,
for a lot of the scenes.
Right.
Well, this ties into our next couple of guests, because in a book called And Then You're Dead, you got a sports editor and a doctor of physics hooking up to take a gruesome look at the actual science behind the most outlandish, cartoonish, and impossible deaths you can ever imagine. Cody Cassidy on the line and Paul Doherty. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Bill and Wendy.
Totally obsessed with death. I want gruesome facts. I'm looking through the book. I haven't read it all yet. And please take this as a compliment when I say this is a great bathroom book, because you don't have to read it from cover to cover.
We take it as a compliment.
All right, good. You know, what happens if your head gets cut off? We have all heard, you know, when a chicken gets its head cut off, it runs around for a while. Tell us about this.
Yeah, there was actually one chicken who ran around for a couple of years. His name was Mike the Headless Chicken, I think.
Perfect name.
Yeah. When his owner cut his head off to eat him, he actually left a little bit of the brainstem, and the chicken doesn't need much more than the brainstem to just walk around and eat food. And he went around for a few years in front of crowds, I think. And before he choked on something and died. But, yeah, it was sort of in a discussion about how important the brain really is.
So just to clarify, he survived having his head cut off. He made it through there, but he choked on something. That's what did him in.
Choked on a grain of corn.
Oh.
He couldn't do it. You know, his eyes, I guess his eyes weren't bigger than his stomach, but his something like that.
How did he eat corn?
The owner actually would take an eyedropper and give him nutrients. And I guess there was a little bit of corn in the eyedropper that plugged up his gullet.
Oh my God! All right, why are you guys obsessed with death too? How did you come together to write this book?
Obsessed with science and gruesome scenarios and interesting questions, and I think that was the idea, was that we could sort of talk about interesting science and the body and keep people entertained by discussing cool scenarios. Like when you sort of talk about Jupiter, your eyes might glaze, but if you talk about what would happen if you parachuted into Jupiter, it starts to get more interesting, I think.
Yeah, you plunge down into Jupiter, and as you get deep enough into Jupiter, the pressure and the temperature turns the hydrogen atoms in your body, and there are lots of hydrogens in your body, into liquid metal hydrogen. So I sort of envision that you become like that the liquid metal man in the Terminator movie.
Oh, cool.
Wouldn't that be a great way to go?
Well, yeah. That's what we all see in movies. We see their version of what would happen on various planets. But is any of that realistic, really? I mean, what you just described is horrific. But so on almost any planet, if we were to survive there or try to survive without any kind of protection, we would probably just blow up or implode or something, wouldn't we?
You betcha. I mean, the Earth is like the only place for us. You try anywhere else in the solar system, and you're dead in 4 minutes for sure.
Yeah.
But like a Total Recall, Arnold Schwarzenegger going out naked on the...
Yeah.
Face naked on the... They actually did a good job. What happens is, not much happens. 15 seconds, all the air in your body gets expelled because the pressure on Mars is 1/100th the pressure on the Earth. So you lose all your air, got 15 seconds of consciousness. And that's perfect, because then you pass out, but at the body temperature and the pressure on Mars, your blood boils. So your blood turns into gas and you swell up like this giant hot dog, which you saw his face doing. They actually did a pretty good job of covering that way of dying in the movie. And then they ruined it all by restoring the entire atmosphere of Mars in a few seconds.
Yep.
Well.
Yep.
We have Cody Cassidy on the line with us, worked as a sports editor for Zimbio.com, sports reporter for Stanford Athletics, a writer for Coach Magazine, and Paul Doherty, a co-director and senior staff scientist at San Francisco's famed Exploratorium Museum. The book is called What Really Happens If You Get Swallowed by a Whale, Are Shot from a Cannon, or Go Barreling Over Niagara, and Then You're Dead. I have a question for you, and Bill and I were just talking about this a few weeks ago. Everyone has heard this story. You know, we're here in Chicago. If you dropped a penny from the top of the John Hancock Building or the Sears Tower, in the book it's the Empire State Building, would it bore right through your head and kill you and destroy you?
No, a penny would actually be totally harmless. The terminal velocity of a penny would sort of flutter as it fell, and it would only fall at about 25 miles an hour. So it's sort of the same as somebody throwing a penny at you from across the room. Maybe startling, but certainly not deadly. But there are some other objects that would be surprisingly lethal, like a pen, a nice steel pen, would actually if it had a shirt clip, it would act like the fletching on an arrow to kind of keep it pointed straight down, and at 190 miles an hour, a nice hard pen would put a chunk in cement. So you can imagine what it might do to your head.
And that's because it's pointed. And as you mentioned, if it had a shirt clip, it would be pointed down. So it's sharp like an arrow, kind of. A penny, just a flat little thing.
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
What about a grape?
Yeah, so in fact, people have caught grapes from several hundred feet altitude. So like 80 stories up, guy on the ground, caught a grape in his mouth, set the world record for catching grapes in your mouth, and had no bad effects. So,
Wendy asked because she has a lot of enemies that she wants to destroy, and she wants to know if she should go to the top of the Hancock Building with grapes or pens. You say pens is her best bet.
Pens
is the way to go. What about this? We've discussed this on the show a couple of times. You talk in the book about what would happen if your elevator cable broke. Now, I always subscribe to the theory that if you're in an elevator that's falling, your best thing to do is jump up and down because you stand a 50-50 chance of being airborne when your elevator crashes. But is that true or not true?
You've watched too many cartoons.
I watch a lot of cartoons. That's true.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you'd still be traveling. Even if you jumped, you would still be traveling at 190 miles an hour or so. So landing on cement would not be good at that speed, whether you were on the elevator or not. But if you lie down flat on your back is the best way to go as your elevator is falling.
The best way to go, meaning a chance of survival or a peaceful death?
you probably will go, too, but it's your best shot.
Why?
Well, it sort of spreads out the G-forces, which are the really dangerous things, and lessens the impact over your whole body. So it's still quite risky. I would cross your fingers as it was happening.
All right, so if the elevator's crowded, do you all lay down and then lay on top of each other? Would the person on the top have the best chance of survival?
Be the best, right?
Yeah, be on the top of the pile. Let those other people be your cushions.
All right. Good to know.
And could you throw grapes or pens at those people as your elevator is plummeting, or is it not necessary at that point?
Not necessary at that point. They're going to impact the bottom.
All right.
So if you're standing upright, the problem is your body stops, your bones stop to the floor, but your internal organs keep going. And so the heart rips loose and stomach rips loose, and it's just not good.
You always have a smile in your voice when you tell us these horrific details. I've noticed there's always a very...
exciting, you know?
It is exciting.
Science is fun and cool.
Sure, absolutely.
Right.
All right, we have more to discuss. What really happens if you get swallowed by a whale or shot from a cannon or go barreling over Niagara? And Then You're Dead is the book. And Then You're Dead, the authors Cody Cassidy and Paul Doherty, PhD, join us on the phone. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Always fun to find out some weird, fascinating science facts, and a couple of guys have put it together in a book that's available on Amazon and where your favorite books are sold. Cody Cassidy and Paul Doherty have written a book, And Then You're Dead, What Really Happens If... You know, we had Bello Knock on the show, the clown. He said he got shot out of a cannon. Mm-hmm. What would really happen if you became a human cannonball?
Well, the circus cannons are designed to keep you alive mostly, although I think I'll skip it because they're fairly dangerous. But an actual 155-millimeter howitzer, the acceleration is so great that you'd come out of that cannon as a mist of blood and bone crushed bone, and you're just not going to survive that acceleration. Just impossible.
So stay away from cannons, Wendy. I tell you this all the time. You're taking your life in your own hands there.
All right, here's a question I have for you. Bill likes sweets. What happens if you ate as many cookies as Cookie Monster?
So it turns out that that a doctor in the early 1900s did this experiment on a cadaver where he filled a stomach with as much fluid as he possibly could just to see what would happen, and it splits at like 4 liters. So converted into cookie metric, that's about 60 chocolate chip cookies. So
it's not that many. Telling you,
these are big chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, all right.
60 large chocolate chip cookies in a fairly short amount of time. Usually you'll throw them up, but if your body skips that step, you'll sort of split along that sort of the concave part of the stomach. The stomach sort of looks like a bean, and right on that concave weak point.
Oh.
Hey, in Chicago, you've got the bean.
Right, we do. Yes, we do.
And look at that concave portion. Think of that as a human stomach with mirrors on it. And that concave portion is where it's going to blow out if you eat too many cookies.
I have not read this chapter yet, but I'm intrigued by time travel. So what would happen if we had the ability to time travel? What exactly would go on there with our bodies? How would we change?
We sort of like it's a, what's really interesting is how the Earth has changed over time. And sort of we found, like, I think the worst time to go would be probably like right around 1 billion years ago,
mm-hmm.
when there's oxygen at that time and there's water to drink, but there are no plants and no animals except for a few small microorganisms in the ocean. So it would just be this really horrible, lonely experience walking around in a sort of desert landscape for, you know, about a month or something until you ran out of food and starved to death. And there's all sorts of other interesting times. Sort of, Earth was a fairly inhospitable place for almost the entirety of its existence until shortly before we showed up.
Yeah, you know, we said the Earth's like the only place you could live now, but if you go 1 billion years in the past or 1 billion years in the future, the Earth's not going to be so inhospitable either. Imagine this, wandering in the desert for a month, no radio to listen to. This is the ultimate.
Do you remember that show that was out a couple years ago where they showed various cities and what they would look like if men ceased to exist? They'd show the city like in 10 years and 50 years and 100 years. It was pretty alarming.
Yeah, well, you know, in Cyprus, they drew a line down the middle of the island. And, you know, the Greeks got one half and the Turks got the other half. And there was this whole city that got evacuated. And so for decades now, they've been photographing that city as it returns to nature.
Yeah.
So they actually have an exact case study of how this happens.
Were there a bunch of these? I mean, the book is chock full of these facts, these what-if facts. But I bet there was tons you didn't even get to, wasn't there?
Oh, that's right. We did something called the Devil's Super Soaker, where we found the world's worst chemical, which happens to be chlorine trifluoride. And this chemical, if it spills on the ground, sets dirt on fire, and the fumes are poisonous. So, but we couldn't figure what to make the super soaker out of, because anything you made it out of would
burn through.
Flame as soon as it.
What do they use this chemical for?
It's an oxidizer. It's a strong oxidizer. If you want to, if you have something that nothing else will burn, this is the thing.
Oh.
Do you have something you want to burn?
No.
A couple of bodies or something?
I'm good. No, I'm good.
Were there any scenarios that were a little too much or too dark or weird to include in this book that you came across?
Yeah, sometimes we sort of wanted you to be able to eat this book over lunch. So so anything that happens like too commonly or fire is one particular one that just gets so gruesome as you get into the specifics. Sort of fascinating science, but... you would not want to eat it on a full stomach or
read it.
Don't eat this book. don't eat the book.
Is it edible?
Eat it on a full stomach. No, we skip those.
Will there be a chapter 2? Because I'm sure you have more stuff that did not go in this book.
Well, we're just waiting on more questions.
And we're getting them. We went online and we're just beginning to get, all our friends are now pouring on some new ideas, you know, like the chlorine trifluoride and two of the other cool things we never heard of before.
I know this isn't fair to ask, but what's the stupidest question you've received, unless it came from either Wendy or I during this interview? Then leave it off. But what's the dumbest one you've got so far?
Well, yeah, the dumbest one so far was, so if you're stuck in the middle of a spacecraft without any gravity, and you're there in the middle, and all the food and stuff is on the wall. Could you get to the wall by farting? And how long would it take?
That's not a stupid question.
It comes up every day. Somebody asks that question.
The answer is, it's 100 times better to sneeze than it is to fart.
More force coming from a sneeze.
But guys, it's like it's like the bubble room scene in Willy Wonka where they needed to get down and they had to burp to get down. So it's kind of precedented.
That's it. Yeah, you just got to know your movies.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, what is the website or where can people get a hold of you? Because maybe our listeners have some questions for book number two. What's the best place to get you?
The best way to get is to just look up online. Paul Doherty Exploratorium, and you'll get my webpage and be able to write in your fire away. I'm getting questions all the time now. People found out that address. And so Doherty, Paul Doherty, look for me online, and I'll take your questions.
Awesome. Good to know. The book, What Really Happens If You Get Swallowed by a Whale or Shot from a Cannon or Go Barreling Over Niagara. And then you're dead. Cody Cassidy, Paul Doherty, thanks so much, you guys. Pick it up on Amazon or wherever your favorite books are sold. And thank you so much.
Great. Thanks. Thanks, Bill and Wendy.
Take care, guys. Have a great weekend. We'll take a quick break and then find out what's on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve next. It's Bill and Wendy.